manifested as people receive the conviction of repentance and to turn from their ways, we saw great things come to that nation. Now, we get so fascinated these days with great signs and wonders, and I want to say to you, when it comes to the power of God, we must see signs and wonders because that's the one thing that will convince people around us in the workplace, in the neighborhoods that we are living. Because if we talk about fruit, let's talk about the fact that if God is at work in our lives, fruit means that we have the power of God manifested in and through our lives. And that power brings us to the question, you know, is that only miracles? Because the sign of Jonah means that sharing the gospel has power. If there's anything that unlocks the societies, the neighborhood that we are in, it's the gospel. Because with that, also signs and wonders will follow. And with that, we will see the mighty manifestation of God toward people around us. And so, the sign of Jonah brings us to a place where we know that it's just by sharing the gospel that we will see our hearts being pure, because Jesus is confronting these holy men and he's saying to them, listen, I've got a problem because your sign is clearly about power. You're expecting me to do great things and take over this nation and do great exploits so that God can manifest himself here on earth. And yet, my heart is to manifest myself to those who desperately need me. A place of compassion. And so if we talk about miracles and the power of God, I want to say to you this morning, there's only one way that we keep ourselves pure. In why do we want to see the manifestation of God around us? If it's not so that the gospel can be preached and that we can see people's lives transformed and that they can come closer to God, we are missing the point. Are you with me? And so I want to say to you this morning, the blessing is to have an expectation that God will manifest himself and that in everyday life we will see people healed. But because we love them. Because Jesus was moved by compassion. Jesus had a desire to get into people's lives and to say, listen, I'm not going to do the great political things and change this nation. I'm going to actually bow my knee and get one-on-one into people's lives, and I'm going to make sure that their lives are transformed. So if you want to see great miracles, start with your neighbor. Start with the person that's sitting next to you right now. Are you praying for him? Are you praying for her? And my question to you is, the greatest miracle is actually to come to a place of, Jesus, it's the compassion toward those who are lost around me that stirs me to see that you will bring breakthroughs in their lives. And so, you know, I'm so excited for every little thing that God is doing around us, because it's not easy to share the gospel in a country like this, but I can tell you it's so rewarding. Last night, walking on the streets, just seeing how Rainier and Serena, you know, is busy sharing the gospel there with people and just hearing the arguments that they are bringing to the table. No argument shall stand if they must admit that there's a powerful God that wants to change their lives. And so if miracles start to take place in the context of us having a compassion for people, and an understanding that they need to have Jesus in their lives, otherwise they are going to have a miserable life. Unless we get to that understanding, we will not be able to be disciples of God. And so the second thing is the one of wisdom. Acts 14:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, people with no great education, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And wisdom starts with Jesus. So the second thing mentioned in the scripture is the one of actually the Queen of Sheba, the one that went to all the way to Solomon. And it says that the men of the Queen of Sheba in the south will actually recognize and testify of the greatness of God. And what that means is, actually, if you were the queen of a country, if we look at the queen of this country, the only way that you will go and bow your knee to another queen or another king in another country and even take your, you know, your belongings and go out of your comfort zone into that country and go and bow your knee to that king is why? Because you want wisdom beyond what you have the capacity to receive. And so this queen went all the way, and she was probably one of the greatest in her time, and she went to Solomon because she recognized that there was a wisdom beyond what she and her kingdom is capable of. And then would go to that nation and receive that wisdom. And I want to say to you, the second thing that we must understand about reflecting God is that we have the opportunity to reflect the wisdom of God to people around us. And that's why prophecy is so important. That's why the giftings in our lives is so important. Because as soon as we start to operate in the wisdom of God, we start to reflect something more than we are capable of. You know, like Malisha was saying this morning, you know, it's just amazing to see that you just faithfully do whatever you can and you walk into a prayer room, and you make sure to just ask God the same questions over and over again, and yet you don't even know how God reveals the puzzle pieces to you until it all comes together. And let me tell you this morning, some of you are maybe offended with God this morning because you feel that your breakthrough has not come. And I want to say to you, you need wisdom. Because when you spend time with Jesus, when you sit in His presence and you start to reflect on what He's doing in and through your life, things start to become clearer. And you see the bigger picture. And it's strange how, you know, all of that anxiety that you had about your circumstances just fall to the ground because you have clear picture again. And so if we talk about the wisdom of God, I want to say to you, these men made people marvel. I want to say to you, you can make the people in your work marvel. It's not going to help letting us marvel around you here at church. Do you agree with me? If all of us marvel together, there's going to be a problem here. People in the workplace, our family members, must testify of what God is doing in our lives and the wisdom that we have beyond the natural capability that we have. Are you with me this morning? So stepping out and living a life where, you know, you and I reflect God must have a place where we tap from God in wisdom. Third one, boldness. Let's just get back to the first two, P.W. Buss. Power and wisdom. Third one, boldness. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Okay, thanks. It's not just Joseph that's alive this morning. Some of you are moving with me. So, boldness. It's just strange to see what happened in Peter's life. The same Peter that denied Jesus comes to this chapter 4 of Acts, and now he gets whipped because he's confessing the name of Jesus. What happened in between? Is this the same man that, you know, ran away from Jesus, that and all of the other disciples? Let's not forget that. It was not just Peter that ran. All of them ran. And yet these same men, now when Jesus is gone, is so bold about what's happening in their lives that they get whipped. Because here in chapter 4, they actually get whipped for testifying about the name of Jesus. And not just whipped, they are standing in front of this tribunal of, you know, accusation against them that can lead to their death, because Jesus went to his death. And so within this struggle that Peter had in his life at this stage, I can see that a mighty manifestation of the Holy Spirit was busy bringing him to a place where his life had no worth anymore because he loved Jesus enough. I want to say to you this morning, you know, when we serve Jesus, when we reflect him, when we really allow him to become more in our lives does not matter anymore. Because boldness comes when we come to our end and we allow Jesus to be everything. Boldness. So Peter died by crucifixion in the year 64. And this was the time when Nero actually accused the Christians, because 64 after Christ, the whole of Rome almost burned down. And he was actually accusing the Christians of being the culprits, the ones that set it alight. And just to make sure that he fight against them, he killed Peter by hanging him upside down. The same man that ran away from Jesus came to the understanding that I want to be bold for Jesus. I actually want to die for him. I want to do whatever is necessary for his name to be glorified. I want to say to you this morning, you know what? Nothing has changed through history. I can understand if the Jews, after 400 years, not seeing the power of God and the manifestation and revelation of God, came to a place of desperation, tried to figure out what is this God. This God that, you know, showed himself faithful through Moses, through Abraham, through all the big men of faith. They saw the power of God operating in and through their lives. We have testimony of that. But we have nothing to show in our generations. But I can tell you, Judas was among them all, and yet he saw all the miracles and still missed God. We are seeing the miracles of God every day in our lives and through our lives. And yet, we struggle to live and reflect him well. And I'm not bringing condemnation this morning. What I'm saying to you is, I want to reflect him well. Are you also at that place? Because reflecting him well means that I want to boldly confess Jesus Christ to everyone around me. I want to make sure that people experience Jesus. You know, so we sat on Friday night at a couple that, a beautiful couple. Their children goes to school with Zoe. And so we had a dinner at their house. And, you know, it was strange how me and Melanie were struggling the whole time just to not say praise God. You know, and say, we are here because of the will of God, you know, because you find yourself, you know, so much in Christian circles where you testify of that the whole time. And Melania at a stage, you know, was saying, praise God. And I realized it was quiet around the table. And what I want to say to you, you know, the amazing thing of it is they actually relaxed and they could see that she's full of a desire to see Jesus. And for me, we are sometimes so afraid to be bold for Christ in the society that we are in because we become so seeker-sensitive that we forget it's the power of Jesus that changes lives. And we must trust him to touch people. Number four is unity. So the first one is power. The second one is help me out,
wisdom.
and then bus is boldness, and we've got unity now. Acts 4:32, just see the outcome of the manifestation of God among them. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of their things that they belonged was of his own, but they had everything in common. Romans 12:9, let love be genuine, abhor to evil, and hold fast to what is good. There's a place of unity that they found themselves in that was so blessed. Unity is established through hearing the same things from God. And I want to just rectify again, and I've done it in the past, but I'm going to do it again, because I think we're going to struggle and have to navigate ourselves in the times ahead to understand what unity really means. We often, you know, and I can hear the outcry of churches now saying, woo, you know, we're going to unify and we're going to do great things for Christ together. And I want to say to you, the beautiful thing of it is that we can only be as unified as we hear the same voice and the same things from God. Now, I was so blessed to hear the other day, you guys went to that leadership conference. So blessed to hear that, you know, we hear the same things from God. And it's a good test, actually, for us to just remind ourselves, listen, we're part of a greater body. And I love to move where God's Spirit is moving. And I unite myself with where God's Spirit is moving. And unification does not work through doing great things together and having activities together and do great events even together. It's through hearing the same voice from God. And that is also for each one of us in this body. For them, they were in one accord. And because of that, even provision followed to each one of them, because they could unify themselves around that which God has called them to do. And if it's the cross, and if it's where the Spirit of God is leading, we will always see provision. For me and my family, you know, I know that I cannot talk on behalf of, who's got families, Sifiso and Mel, you know, what they should do as a family and how they should go about. They must pray to God, and here's an accountability with the rest of the body here. We walk together as families. But for them, in their personal pursuit in family life and where God is heading with them, they must go to God and ask those questions to Him. So they can give an account of that which God has called them to. So I can tell you this morning, I know that me and my family must make certain even sacrificial stances within the family to embrace the vision that God has given us. You know, we believe that God has called us to serve others to become greater than we will ever be. That is our motto for our family. And you know what? Our kids knows that. And with that comes a lot of focus. We know that we must embrace people. We must serve people. And it's sacrificial. We must make sure that we raise others to become greater than us, which means that we are not going to get the glory, but they will probably. Because if we want them to become greater, we must amplify whatever God is doing in their lives, not in our lives. So with that comes a lot of focus. Are you with me this morning? So I can vouch for my family. I can say to you, listen, we have these conversations. And we talk them through and we realize that sometimes we are off, you know, track, and sometimes we are on track. And the blessing is that as we commit ourselves to goal together, to pursue together, and do sacrifices together, God's provision goes with that vision that He's given us. Are you with me this morning? I cannot vouch for whatever happens in another family, as I can also not vouch what happens in other churches around in the Wimbledon area even. And I'm blessed with that, because they will be accountable to God for that which God has called them to do. And so when unity comes within the body, the blessing is that God wants us to embrace principles together. God wants us to share vision together and to run with the vision that that He has in store for us. And His provision will follow. And so this church is experiencing at this stage, in the New Testament church, is experiencing at this stage a supernatural flow of God's provision and manifestation of His Spirit, because they could unify themselves around God's vision. And so number five, sacrifice. And this is the one that we don't want to talk about in seeker-sensitive churches, and especially, you know, in first world countries like ours, We don't want to talk about the sacrifice that it cost us to go and hang upside down on a cross. I don't know who of you lately hang upside down on a cross. Let me just see. Juan, you look quite all right. Did you make it at least? These men had these conversations quite often about what it cost them to serve Jesus and to be bold for Jesus. Are we ready for that? Are we ready to reflect Jesus? Are we ready to, in our circumstances, allow Jesus to be everything? And my question maybe with that might be this morning, you know, in our workplace, it's difficult because I will be labeled as a radical if I just talk about Jesus. If you're a teacher like my wife, you might lose your work because you've shared the gospel in your workplace. If you're a nurse these days, let's talk about what it costs you more. It might cost you your comfort, because it's much easier to, you know, to do whatever is nice to you and not to other people. You know, and I know I'm talking to the wrong crowd here this morning. You guys are really amazing in how sacrificial, and I'm not making a joke. I'm really, I see Malisha smiles. I'm not making a joke here. I know that you guys are really sacrificially following Christ. But I personally am so challenged by what it cost me to serve God in a generation that needs Christ but don't know how to count the cost. And it's difficult. To follow Jesus is not easy. It's amazing to talk about great things that's going to happen in our lives. You know, when Jesus comes and Jesus works in our lives and He's doing great things in our families. But let me tell you, if that means that your Saturday afternoon sleep is going to be sacrificed, I don't know even if we will give that up. And I'm not fighting with you this morning. I'm just realistic of the society that we are in. Because, guys, we want to reflect Jesus. We want to reflect Him in everything that we do. Can I read that scripture again? So whatever you eat or drink... Okay, I hope the coffee that I drink is blessed. I'm thinking now. It must be blessed. Oh, no, coffee must be blessed. No, I'm joking now, but guys, are you with me this morning? To serve Christ means that everything you do must be examined through the glasses of a sacrificial life toward Him. And you know what? You will give up everything if it's worth it. If you've got an awesome relationship with Christ, you will give everything to Him. But you must be in that safe space. You will die for somebody that you love. But we need to press in and to experience Him more and trust that He will come and PW bus with us, okay? Are you still with me? Sacrifice. Whatever you do, work out heartily as Lord and not for men. Let's get back to the last part, sacrifice. I appeal to you, Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Which is your spiritual worship. And I'm appealing to you this morning. You know, I was so convicted when I was listening to Suzette Hartung the other day, and I realized, you know, that she said, okay, I've got some homework for you guys. You go back to the words that you received the whole year and just see how many of them came to fruition And if not, how much time did you spend in pressing into it and praying until God manifests himself in fruit in your circumstances? Because we get revelation from him. We get awesome words from him all the time. You know, last night again, it was beautiful, you know, how God just gave us words, you know, before the people went out. We get words from God all the time, but we so often forget those words. If that is out of the throne room of God, then it must produce fruit. Listen to this scripture, Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and I shall succeed in the thing for, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Now, where's the fruit? Do I reflect him or do I reflect myself? What can come become the, what can get in between the sun and the moon? The earth. What can come between you and the reflection of Christ in your life? And I want to challenge you with that. Because we know what it is. The world and all its worries that so easily ensnares us and makes us to prioritize our anxieties about what's happening in this world more than we are prioritizing Christ. And then our pride. Because we are not willing to even admit that we are not reflecting Christ. And my challenge is, I'm asking God, God, how can I become less so that you can become more? How can I remove the earth out of the way so that your sun can shine on me? Sun/sun, do you understand what I'm saying? Because if your sun is shining on me, then I know that I will reflect you greater. And I want to see greater fruit through my life so that you can transform people around me, so that I can be of a blessing to people around me. But what do I reflect? I want the power of God to flow through my life. I want the wisdom of God to be extended to everyone around me. I want to have the boldness to proclaim what God is doing in my life. I want to be unified with the people that God is putting around me so that I can see his kingdom come and his will be done, not just through me, but collectively through all of those who God has called together to fulfill his purpose. And that means that sometimes I will have to sacrifice. But that sacrifice in the midst of obedience is blessed. But if it's sacrificial, because I must do things for God, because it's great works, and I want to lay it down. And my desire this morning for all of us, as we take these five things in into our circumstances, is that we will reflect him better. Mm-hmm. And yes, you might say that I'm a Christian for long, and I'm quite good at it. I want to say to you, then I want to know why do we not see the New Testament church in and around us every day? Because for them it was a living reality. And I don't have the answers. I don't have all the answers I can tell you this morning. I'm exploring with each one of you. But I want it. I want to worship the King of Kings and I want to reflect him better. Let's stand this morning as we end off. You know, I know all of us are intentional. You know, we listen to a sermon like this and we have, see, this is bothering my friend, so let's rather put it here. We are intentional. We want to get this right. I know all of you standing here in front of me this morning, you have a desire to really please God. And it's not in a lack of trying. But things change when you spend time with Jesus. And all that we're going to do now is just to worship and to allow you to be honest with yourself and to ask Him to reflect better in you and through you, to shine even harder in your life, and that God will come and remove the obstacles. And that is a place of accountability between you and God. And if you need some prayer, please come to the front. We'll pray gladly with you. As we pursue Jesus, we're going to see beautiful things happen. We are seeing beautiful things. We have beautiful testimonies of what God is doing in our midst. I'm just saying, Jesus, I want a journey with you. Father, thank you for your gentle presence in this place. You are all that we need. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Rabbas, it be Oh, yes, Jesus. Send your power, Father God, as we journey with you and the compassion within us grow to our city, London, to this nation, the United Kingdom. As our hearts grow in an understanding of what you are doing in the hearts of people, we pray for this nation of ours. We pray that, oh God, you will come and heal our land. You will heal our hearts. Clearly we think, Father, that this nation can be transformed by a political system. Clearly we think that our strong pound and Father God, our economic growth will sustain us through difficult circumstances, and yet we are so fragile. We come to you in the name of Jesus. And this morning we come and pray for this nation. We pray, Father God, that it will see your power. Not by might, but by your Spirit. One by one, we will see people coming to salvation. One by one, we will see lives transformed, communities reached, and people starting to testify of the goodness and the greatness of God. We pray for Wimbledon, O God. We pray that each person in this area will come to the knowledge of Christ. We will keep on doing it. God, use us. Use us, use us. We will keep on doing it until we see your life-changing gospel transforming lives. Oh God, we cannot live without you. We need you desperately. Oh Rabbas, oh Rahatekiti Rabbas. Yeah, I'm
Give us this land, O God, for your kingdom's sake. Let your gospel prosper in the streets of London, in our neighborhood. Let families be healed. Let lonely people again experience family, true family, people that care for them and sincerely love them. Let's worship God. you that you are enough for us. At this morning, we can just remind ourselves again that reflecting you is actually so easy, because you are the strength. You are the sun. We must just empty ourselves. And this morning we empty ourselves and we say, oh God, we want to see your glory. We want to see your glory more than ever. We want to experience it in and through our lives and our families, because you are precious. Father, we live in a world that desperately need you. And it's amazing, because you are here in the midst of the darkness, shining as strong and as bright as ever. Nothing has changed. Your promises for this nation and for our neighborhoods, Father God, has not changed. You love us. You love interaction with us. And we worship you for that, in Jesus' name. Journey with us, O God. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. If any of you feel there's something that the Holy Spirit